A sleeper episode in television or podcasting refers to an episode that doesn't immediately stand out upon its initial release, but gains recognition, acclaim, or significance over time. It might not have been highly rated or discussed at first, but its value, whether for its strong writing, character development, or pivotal plot points, is appreciated in retrospect, often becoming a fan favorite or a crucial part of the show's overall story arc. Okay, so maybe sleeper episode is not the right way to think about it. Years ago, so if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that years ago when I started this, back in the, I don't know if it was still the summer, it was either the summer or the fall of 2017, this was a fitness podcast. So it was called the Eddie Knows Fitness Podcast. And the original idea is I'm going to have fitness people on here. We're going to talk about fitness and occasionally we'll talk about the mind and all that. Pivoted, changed gears. There was an interview that aired with a guy where he was talking more about mind stuff. And that was a very popular episode. And that was the stuff that I enjoyed talking about more. The first episode after I, quote, rebranded in 2018, January 3rd, 2018, I had the Steve Ozanich on the podcast, and I went back and I looked. I don't know how this is possible, but I have never re-aired this episode. It is almost 7 years old at this point. And unless you were listening way back when, or you have gone back and listened in an archive to episode 14, you would have never heard this. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a jaunt back to 2018, simpler times. With Steve Ozanich and I. When this aired, it's hard to believe Audrey wasn't even born yet, and Zoe was 3.5 years old. So not even sure exactly what we talked about in this episode, but Steve Ozanich, who has a couple of books out or a few books out on Amazon, with his most popular being The Great Pain Deception, which there are hundreds and thousands of people around the world who have credited that book with helping them overcome lots of chronic conditions, not only chronic pain, but chronic illnesses, all sorts of different things. I would say that he is among the most definitive voices in this space, and he's still putting out YouTube content and all sorts of things related to this mind-body work. There may not be another person in the space that is as sure-voiced as Steve Ozanich is when it comes to this work. So this is a 57-minute episode with Steve and I, and looking forward to you all getting to check it out. Let's take a listen. So I'm here with Steve Ozanich. Steve, I came across Steve, actually, it's interesting how I came across you. Is like I have like a chronic pain story that lasted nearly a year without really any answers, and then I remember I saw the cover of your book, and this was months and months and months ago on Amazon, just scrolling through. And I looked at it, and to me, it was like, for some reason, the first thing that jumped out to me was like conspiracy theories and Illuminati and all that kind of stuff. And I just passed it. I was like, I'm not reading that. I didn't even look at the reviews or anything like that. And, you know, little did I know, that was 5 months before I found Sarno's book. And I wish I would have looked back at that, because then I would have had several more months of my life back, I think. So this is Steve Ozanich. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
So Steve is a number one international bestseller. He's written The Great Pain Deception. He's got a couple of other works out there. He's been on TV. His word has been out there. You know, I want to start from the beginning. I've read your book front and back. I've read it actually 1.5 times now, which is good. But the first time I read it, I read it very, very quickly, and there's a lot of information in there. So, you know, give me your story. Like, where did this stuff start? And there's a couple of notes I have from the book that I want to talk about later on. But, you know, where did this start for you? Where did your problems start? You know, give me kind of the you know, the elevator pitch here.
You want to know my story?
Yeah.
It all began in a log cabin. Yeah. 1831. No.
You look good. If you're 170 years old, if this story starts in 1841, I'm impressed.
Next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started having back pain when I was 14. And it just devastated me. I was an athlete, of course. I played every sport and was very active. And all of a sudden, bam, I couldn't move. And my dad took me to, you know, chiropractors first, and then better surgeons and better surgeons. And I got worse, and it really never left. Just about 30 years, I had terrible back pain. It was up and down, of course, as since we know that it's not from a structural cause now. But and in the 1990s, I got so bad that I was almost dead, really. I lost over 50 pounds and couldn't stand up anymore and stopped eating from the pain. I had my left leg paralyzed. I was dragging it around for 9 months. Jeez. Had no more tendon reflexes and no more sensation. The only thing I had was my quadricep in that left leg.
Yeah.
And, of course, the neurosurgeons kept saying, you know, it's pinching that nerve. We're going to have to trim that disc. And thankfully, through an act of serendipity, a friend of mine read an article. And he said, you know, this article reminded me of you. And I read it, and it didn't make a lot of sense at the time. And I went home, and I bought the book from the article, Healing Back Pain, Dr. Sarno's seminal work. And I didn't believe it. Like you just said, told me, you know, you passed on it.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds just strange. It really does, that it could actually work, that the mind could be that powerful, that would kill us or heal us.
Yep.
And, of course, by me throwing his book, I ended up throwing his book across the room because I thought he was crazy. And I got worse and worse, because when we reject truth like that, we suffer. We always suffer. You know, it was true. That's the reason I rejected it. And of course, now I've spent almost 20 years doing this work full time. And as you and I both know, that the biggest thing that we have to deal with is the controversy of it.
Yep.
And that is just. People need to understand that the controversy is part of the reason itself. That's what we really need to understand. The reason we don't want to believe it is the very reason that we have the pain or the illness.
Yep.
It's those things that we're blocking, those aspects of ourselves that we don't want to see and don't want to believe. And so, of course, people want to reject it. That's the very first instinct. Pain and diseases are all defenses against truth. And everybody who comes to it and opens their mind and their heart up, they heal. Every one of them. I can't really look back and see anybody that hasn't. Now, they heal at different degrees, of course. Now, I'm assuming the people listening know what TMS is, but I'm not sure whether they do or not. You know, but it was Dr. Sarno's work that saved my life in the end, you know. And so that was a long elevator ride, but we're to the top floor.
What was the, I always like to kind of think in terms of, you know, what was these kinds of stories. My therapist and I talk a lot about, you know, you sort of get to, you have these redemption stories where you've kind of hit rock bottom. What was the worst diagnosis that you got where it was like, and this can be before you found the book or before you read the article, but, you know, here is what you're sentenced to for the rest of your life. What was the worst thing that you were told that you had?
Wow, there are so many. Yeah. I don't know if we have enough time. I mean, from vision things and from internal organ things and skin things and back things, it's all the same, yep. Of course. You know, well, I guess the one that devastated me was when I was that young kid and they told me I would never play again. You know, I was a football player.
Yeah.
And that one just destroyed me. And, of course, the ones that I'm hearing are much worse. You know, right now, the Lyme disease thing is the one that's really driving us crazy. You know, these doctors they keep blaming the people's chronic pain on Lyme disease. And it's not true. You know, it's not true. There's no such thing as chronic Lyme disease. You get it. Some people get it and they take the antibiotics and it goes away.
Yeah.
But the brain will take advantage of that opportunity to latch on to TMS at that point.
Yeah.
And it won't let go. It'll make the person think they still have chronic Lyme, but it was gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
And a bone on bone, this is the one that really makes me cringe, even when I hear it. My doctor told me I have bone on bone, and that just the sound of that begins to manifest the problem. And it's not true, you know. Those things don't cause pain either. And so every day I work with people who are crippled by their physicians with these outlandish diagnoses. And, of course, the most common one is herniated disc. That's yep. The most common one. you know, but I see other ones, labral tears and rotator cuff tearing and ankylosis and you name it. They're out there blaming the physical body when we know from Dr. Sarno's work that it is not the physical body at all. It never has been. The only thing we got confused in was technomedicine. In other words, the placebo effect.
Yep.
This is the most confusing factor that makes people believe they actually have a physical body problem. When they do something, you know, whether it's surgery or a pill or stretching or stabbing or cutting or poking or whatever it is, and they get better. And they think, well, I did have a physical problem because it helped me. Well, it did not help you.
Yeah.
It was a placebo. It was your belief in it. My favorite one that I've been doing some lectures recently, and my favorite one was that one last year about the fake pill. I don't know if you saw it or not. Mm-mm. It was a fake pain pill. The researchers told these people in pain, see this pill here? It's no good at all. There's nothing in it. It won't do a damn bit of good for you. And they gave it to them, and 30% of them got better.
Yeah.
And it's because of what I talked about in the Great Pain Deception, you know, it's the interaction, the connecting, the relationship between the scientists and the doctors and the patient that makes all the difference in the world. And of course, today's medicine has gone out of control. The doctors don't even look at the patient anymore. They come into the room, they go to the scribble out a prescription and walk out.
Yeah, I remember I had an MRI for my shoulder about a year and a half ago, and I saw took the same imaging to four different doctors, and I now thinking back to it, I think maybe one of the four did look me in the eyes. You know what I mean? Like,
he looked you in the eye and said, do you have insurance?
Yeah, gosh, no kidding. And how good is it? So what year did you first read that, the article? What year was it?
Yeah, it was in a thing called Boardroom Classics.
Okay.
That guy was a big publisher at the time, Marty. He owned this big publishing company in New York, and Dr. Sarno saved his life.
Yep.
So Dr. Sarno did an article in it, and that would have been, 1997 or 98, something like that. I'm not sure anymore.
So it's been 20 years since you first read that. And I asked Nicole Sachs a couple of weeks ago, you know, do you like, what's the changing of the guard? You know what I mean? Like 10 years from now, what is the perception? And I feel like before I started looking into this stuff, it didn't exist. Like I never saw news articles. I never saw anything that had to do with the mind and the body connection. Now that I'm, you know, my eyes are open for it, I feel like I see it all the time, but
it's everywhere.
But we're talking about the 1990s here, and I've seen the 2020 thing, and I think a lot of people listening to this have seen the 2020 thing and some of the attitudes from some of the doctors that were being interviewed in that. How do you feel like public perception and overall medicine has changed since 1997 in terms of the acceptance of this? Has it truly gotten better, or has it pretty much stayed stagnant for that time?
It's slowly evolving. It's slowly evolving. I'm getting hired now to consult with more medical doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and so-called mind-body counselors are hiring me to help them with their own symptoms. Even a Jungian analyst one time. And they're getting better. Even surgeon, recently a couple surgeons hired me to work with them on their TMS. And they're getting better, and they're telling their patients now. And so it's a very slow grassroots movement, doing like what you're doing right now, one person at a time. You know, if we only help one person listening to this, we did a good thing here today. And then that person will tell more people. And so it's expanding, although Dr. Sarno never believed that it would ever catch on.
Yeah.
And he's probably right, because you're basically taking everyone's career and throwing it away at some point. You know, it would be economic chaos, was the words he used, in the medical industry if they listened to him. You wouldn't need anything, really.
Right.
I mean, you would need something. Of course, you break a bone or you need a transplant or something like that. It's always important for me to say this is not an anti-doctor message. It's not trashing the doctors. They just don't know about it. They don't know about it, you know. And so they think they're helping and they're trying their best. What they're doing is making us worse, in the subtitle of my book, Faulty Medical Advice is Making Us Worse. By pointing to the body and saying that's the problem, they're making it worse.
Yeah. What's have you gone and done any sort of speaking, lecturing, interviewing at different places around the world? Like, the perception is very different, I feel, in different types of I mean, even going down to, like, I remember I went to a dinner in Australia once, and I sat next to the guy who was more or less the head of what is the FDA in Australia or New Zealand or one of the countries that's down under. And I remember him and I just talking about the perception difference in a calorie unit, like just a calorie unit in the United States versus pretty much everywhere else in the world, that we see a calorie differently, whereas New Zealand or Australia or several other countries see it as an energy unit. It's an expenditure. It's like a checks and balances book. So there's obvious, like, there are a lot of really different thoughts out there. So, you know, different countries that you've gone to or different countries that you've spoken to or about, like, do you have some knowledge on talking to people that are in other countries that say, yeah, like, we've, like, I feel like I read books about Buddhism and I read books about India, and it seems like, you know, they've sort of, like, there's a lot of other places in the world that seem like they get it. Like, it's nothing that's groundbreaking the way that it feels like it could be in the United States.
Well, I work a lot with people in other countries, you know, probably 60 to 70% of the people outside of America, in dozens and dozens of countries, from down south and up in Finland and Norway and Scotland and Ireland, yeah, and Singapore. I've done consultations and talks with those people. And yes and no, some of the people, first of all, that see TMS, they're of that mindset you're talking about. They get it. They see it. Mm-hmm. I kept every correspondence that Dr. Sarno ever sent me. You know, they're very precious to me. And the very first letter was one sentence that he sent in the mail to me. "I presume to call you Steve because we are members of the same fraternity," he said. And I knew exactly what he meant. You know, people can look right at this work. 80% of them will say, "Nope, it's not true. Nope, not true."
Yep.
The rest of us can look at it and go, "Yep, that's me. That's me." Yeah. We were able to see it as a certain level of conscious awareness. So we are a fraternity, as he phrased it, you know. But also, we were ready to heal. You know, in my third book, The Back Pain Permanent Healing, the central theme of that book is readiness. And nobody will heal until they're ready. They just will not do it. I can tell them everything they need to know, and it won't change them until they're ready.
Do you compare it at all to, sorry to interrupt, something just jumped into my mind about what you're saying, the readiness part. Like, my wife and I, we recently wrapped up season one of The Wire, which is, the show's 12 years old, but we're starting to watch it now. But there's some talk about drug rehab for meth addicts towards the end of the first season. And do you, when people are ready, I feel like a lot of times, like, when people get sent to, like, drug rehab or alcohol rehab, it's because they have hit rock bottom, right? Like, they are now ready, because people can't force other people to go to rehab. They sort of have to be ready. Do you see this in a lot of the same kind of ways, where it's, you know, the person has to be ready and willing to accept?
Right, and that's the very reason people have pain and disease, okay? They're blocking something. They aren't ready to release it. Like the story of Helen, Dr. Sarno's now internationally famous Helen, who had the cathartic breakdown and healed within minutes. It's a protective mechanism. The pain and disease are protective mechanisms. They're defending against what's really true inside, what we really want, what we really want to do. And when you look at the Tao Te Ching, it's 2,500 years old, you know, written by Lao Tzu in verse 71. It says, the sage is not sick because he is tired of sickness.
Yeah.
The people, when you finally get tired, when you get sick of sickness, you are no longer sick, it says. And I finally just, when I resisted his work to start with, I just had enough. I went back again. I was ready to release it. And so readiness is very important when I work with people. If you're not ready, in other words, if you resist healing, nothing I tell you is going to move you. Nothing. It's until you're finally ready to say, "I am ready to heal." And it's very profound. It's very profound, you know, because you begin to look at it at a philosophical level with the highest understanding of sickness and disease. When you look at the Spontaneous Remissions Project, you know, it's the longest ongoing study ever of the people who were supposed to be dead immediately. They had the terminal diseases, and they're all fine now. I think there was over 3,000 in it last time that I looked. They're all alive today, and they're all well because they didn't believe their doctor.
Yeah.
That was one of the main themes, you know. Don't believe it when they tell you your arthritis is causing it, your herniated discs, or your one leg shorter than the other, or you've got Lyme disease, or there's bone on bone, or there's a meniscus tear, or your rotator cuff tearing. You can't believe that. Because if you believe it, that means I don't want to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. Like I know that the Sarno kind of talks about a couple of the exceptions to this idea. He talks about tumors, he talks about infections, cancer, things like that. You know, a friend of mine, she was so, athlete, you know, great shape, like, very healthy, you know, non-smoker, doesn't drink a lot, that kind of stuff. In March of last year, 2016, she was quite suddenly diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer, stage 4. And if you look on the Susan G. Komen website, a lot of these other websites, like the risk factors for women to get stage 4 inflammatory breast cancer is African American women that are overweight, that are like over the age of 40, that in like April is white. She was 35. She was in great shape. She was, you know, like everything was the opposite. And I thought that, you know, she went through cancer treatment. She was told like it's a matter of months, really. She was 6 months pregnant at the time, and her husband is a good friend of mine. And it's amazing. You know, they said a few months probably to live. So who knows if you're going to get out of 2016. And then in December last year, I was there at the cancer center where she rang the bell, because there wasn't a cancerous cell in her body anymore. And when I talked to her husband a few months ago, when I first read Sarno's book, because it's not that I was like ashamed to talk about this stuff out loud, but it was like, has my mind really been playing these tricks on me? You know what I mean? For all this time. And he said, I don't know if April would be here if it wasn't for that type of a message, the mind and body connection. So it's really pretty amazing. I feel like it's possible, even in the exceptions that Sarno talks about, it seems like, if you're sort of addressing some of these things that maybe other problem areas of your life that are not physical, you're sort of putting maybe a proper ground for healing, even from the things that he says are exceptions.
Well, you know, you just opened up a huge topic that we could talk about for months. Yeah. You know, about three different topics you opened up there. You know, it's the degree of belief, what isn't TMS, of course, how much mind and consciousness control body and belief. That's a very big topic. I'm of the mindset, from everything I've seen and the tens of thousands of people that I've communicated with and have heard healing stories from, that everything is TMS. Everything is from consciousness and mind. Now, people like Dr. Sarno, he was beginning to see that as he aged. That's why the TMS term morphed to the mind-body syndrome towards the end. He even mentioned cancer before, you know, and so he would have to say, you know, you've got to stop, though, and because he can't mess around with people's lives. He used to say, you don't mess around with this thing. What if it is a mind-body process and you don't have the tools, you know, mind-body tools to heal yourself? You better get some scientific engineering from the outside. And so as a doctor, they have to be very careful. They get pulled up in front of these medical boards and their licenses pulled.
Yeah.
But I, as not being in the industry, I can see clearly that it is, you know, in the words of the great healer Yogananda, you know, and he said, you know, the thought that the consciousness of anything being chronic is a delusion. It's a delusion. It's being created by mind, but you cannot discount diet, like your friend there too. When you're in an extreme state of acidosis, that's when the cancers and MS and those things form. Now, that can come from the emotional process, can make the body acidic, you know, extreme stress and tension. And so can a diet of pure acid, you know, milk products and things like that, and proteins and meats. And so we have to look at the whole person when you're going to heal them. Look at the diet. Look what's happening in their lives. When I work with people, the first thing I want to know is what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Because that's it right there. Well, you know, I hear this a lot. Well, you know, my mom died when my knee pain started, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. That's the first thing they'll say. And I'll say, well, wait a minute, why don't you think that? Because, you know, I cried.
Yeah.
But you don't understand how deep it runs.
Right.
The disconnect, you know, that causes the great rage of separation. And that's where it's all coming from, separation, fear. You have to understand all the TMS comes from fear. That's the root cause of all of it. This is where the anger comes from that Dr. Sarno spoke from. Anger is just a reaction to the fear. It's all fear-based. And so it runs deep, but you don't have to understand this psychology to heal. You just have to let go. It's that simple, but it's difficult for people because the attachments that we have and we hold on to are our current knowledge. We're afraid to let go of them because the unknown is the scarier thing. And so this has been a wild journey. You know, my job is to spread this truth. That's all I want to do. He saved my life. And because of him, I've been able to save many, many more lives. And anybody who wants to heal, they'll listen.
If you had to pick one camp, so there's like, you know, there's a lot of people that have written books on this stuff. You know, there's a ton of them, obviously Sarno, but Schubner and Sachs and you and Schechter and Heller, and there's a lot of different camps. It seems like a lot of them sort of point to these issues are rooted in childhood. There's something repressed that you have to resolve that goes back that far. But then there's the other side of it, which is like, and my therapist agrees with me in this sense, and this is more of the Adam Heller camp, is that, you know, what's going on right now, or what's going on when the pain started, not necessarily what happened 25 years ago. I guess what side of the fence are you on if you had to, you know, I know that there's a lot of variables, but I guess which side of the fence are you more on?
Dr. Sarno's work is the most advanced still. Mm-hmm. It's nothing's improved on it yet. I mean, a lot of people have been very clever in their marketing of it. Had he been a younger guy, he'd probably been suing a lot of those people for using his name. He did not like people using his image or his name on anything.
Interesting.
But you'll see it all the time. The new Sarno thing or the better Sarno thing, it's not. It's just clever marketing, you know. His work has to do with, you know, the relationship and the self-worth and the self-esteem and the traumas and all that stuff. That nothing will ever advance on that. Now, how you go about it may be a different thing. A lot of these things you're talking about are very narrow views, very narrow understandings of his full body of work. Extremely narrow when I listen to it. It's like, wow. You know, at some point, they don't really get it. But you know what? They have all seen a way to make a living on it. He endorsed very few people. But yes, the current thing is the most important thing. Exactly. Because the past is gone. It's just a memory. It doesn't even exist.
Right.
But this is the thing. You're screening every day of your life through your child's eyes.
Yeah.
You were a child. And so it's very important to understand that at some point. But you can't do anything about it. And I get frustrated when people go do anger release work and things like that. You know what? Anger is just an effect. It's just like pain. Pain and anger are equivalents. You know, if you're going to work on the effect, just go get the disc trimmed or go get the knee scoped again. Why are you working on the anger? Anger is an effect. There's a reason for the anger. Go work on that.
Right.
Okay? That's what to work on. Go work on the anger. In my newest book, I don't know if you saw it, Back Pain Permanent Healing.
Yep.
Hit number one on Amazon for a couple of days. It couldn't hold it. I watched it sliding back away from number one. I watched Dr. Sarno's book hit the sliding right back into first place.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. That thing is the world-changing book. But that book, you know, I talk about many, many different things like this. And it's really amazing to watch it unfold and how we are all the same in this world. I've worked with CEOs and professional football players and athletes and Congress people and Oscar-winning actors, and we're all the same. It doesn't matter poor or rich. We all have the same lack of self-esteem. You know, Louise Hay, the great Louise Hay, I don't know if you knew who that is. She died a couple months ago.
I bought her book. I haven't read it yet, but I've got it.
Yeah, she was the only person I know that did this work longer than Dr. Sarno. She was 90 when she died, and I think she was 20 when she had the cancer and healed herself from it. And she started Hay House Publishing, that great publishing house. She said, of all the people I've ever worked with, there was always a level of self-hatred in them. That's exactly what I saw and what I see in everybody, what I had in myself. This is true. This is where the anger is coming from. And so let's work on that, you know, on taking care of ourselves. And that's where it begins and ends. And Dr. Sarno knew that. And so when you talk about all these other things, you know, you have to be very careful who you listen to.
Right.
Because a lot of the things that they're saying are not true. Like I hear it a lot, you know, with the MBS side, you know, well, if you have a pinch, if you have a weak leg or sciatica and a drop foot, that's not TMS. That's a pinched nerve. That's not true at all. That's not true. That's still TMS.
Yeah.
I've worked with many people that had it. The TMS doctors know that that's still TMS, and Dr. Sarno knew it. He even talked about drop hand a lot that he got. And so it's a very narrow understanding of his body of work. I've talked to oncologists who went to see Dr. Sarno, who he helped to heal from their own pain.
Yep.
My first question out of my mouth to them is always, is cancer TMS, you know? And they say, of course, you know, it's very obvious, but you have to be careful. Once again, if you don't have the tools, you just can't say that and then try to do it on your own. It may be dangerous to do. And of course, there are other outside factors that can cause cancer. Of course, if you're going to smoke, you know, for 60 years, if you're going to drink 7 days a week, if you're going to eat asbestos, right? There are certain external factors that can create and manifest it, of course, but it's almost always a mind-body process. And so, you know, that's the level I'm seeing and understanding. And the people are getting better. They've healed from cancer with my book and MS and just about anything they can think of. You know, it's once you realize the body is just the health is just a report card of your relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know what I love that you put in your book, that it was the first place I had, your book was like the fifth on the topic that I had read. Sorry. It was like the fifth on the top, but it's also the longest. So that's kind of why maybe I put it off a little bit longer, but is that you talked about the value of diaphragmatic breathing in yours. Amazing. Because it's something that, like, I do Olympic style weightlifting and I do a little bit of powerlifting and the whole, like, and a lot of people that I'll train around, I will say that I don't wear a weightlifting belt, but I just really, really focus on my breathing and I can crush weights, right? That I wasn't able to do using a belt because the breathing was much more inefficient. And I tell them, like, the best thing probably you can do as a lifter is better diaphragmatic breathing. And you have like a whole page on it in the book, which I think is awesome.
Well, yeah, because breathing is an expression, and the type T TMSer, they usually are breath holders.
Yep.
You know, because they're in that freeze state. Remember, this all happens from the fight, flight, response, survival mechanism. And this personality type that we're talking about, the type T tension producer, or tension magnets, really, they freeze. They neither flee or fight the situation. They're just locked in gridlock. And so they begin to chest breathe a lot, which the brain associates chest breathing with anxiety because it's part of the fight, flight, response.
Yeah.
The brain associates belly breathing with the parasympathetic side of relaxation. And so when we are breathing, once again, though, it's just an effect. What causes the shallow breathing? The cause is the thought process.
Yep.
You know, the fear and the anger and the breathing and all this stuff, it's all an effect. It all begins with thinking, you know, and so that's the thing to get to is how we're thinking. And we're also repressing feelings, of course, at the same time, which is a whole another topic we could talk about for months on end. This is a very comprehensive topic, is why the book's so long.
Yeah. I would sit there sometimes at the beach and I would read 60 pages. So like, it's very digestible as well. You know, it may look like long and intimidating, but I'll tell you what, the nice thing about reading it on a Kindle, you can't even tell how long it is, right? Like it's as thin as your iPad is.
You don't know enough to be afraid.
You know, one thing, like you talked earlier about people just need to be ready, you know, that's like, and then they can start healing. And I know that for a lot of people, like, healing is not linear. Like for me, it was not linear. It was not like I wake up tomorrow and I was better than I was the day before. Sometimes I would have stretches where 7 or 8 consecutive days are better, but then something happens and it goes a little bit back. So for you, like, you know, you've been pretty well healed for a long time but I'm sure, like Sarno said, he's probably suffered more psychosomatic problems than any of his patients have. And I feel like, you know, do you put yourself in that as well? Like, I guess, what is maybe the most recent one or two things that have popped up that you've been like, you know, they've bothered, whether it's a bad knee or something, and then you're like, oh, I know what it is. And then it's gone.
I get asked that a lot. You know, I've had people, when I consult with them, bend over and touch the floor. They're so cynical. They want to make sure that I'm healed before they even listen. Honey, I was in so much pain, I couldn't even touch my own kneecaps with my hands. That's how bad my pain was. But yeah, you know, I don't even think about it. That's the thing. They get me thinking about it, and then I don't even want to think about it. It's called body consciousness.
Maybe,
you know?
My elbow does hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually work yourself into it because it manifests. What we focus on manifests.
Yep.
You know, that's the level that we're working at right now, you know. We things that don't even really exist to begin to create them, and then doctors amplify it because they add that archetypal power of their authority onto it and they make it worse. But I remember a couple of years back when I was releasing 4 books at one time, that two, my two children's books and the Dr. Sarno book and the back pain book, that my right shoulder, I was working like 7 days, 14, 15 hours a day, just trying to hit all these deadlines. And I remember my shoulder began to lock up on me. And it started to hurt and I couldn't raise it above my, I couldn't raise my hand above my shoulder level. And I knew exactly what it was. You know, I was pushing hard. And so I thought, that's it. I pushed everything aside for weeks. I just stopped it. I started to get out and more active again. It just disappeared. So we can work ourselves into anything.
Yep.
My pain's been gone for 18 years, and I've never felt better, even though I'm older. I felt worse when I was younger, so it has nothing to do with aging at all. You know, I've helped people heal in their 80s from severe pain. They're crippled. And so the body just is a just listening to what we're telling it. And so, you know, I'll get things once in a while. You know, if I really push it hard, I've got something stressful, I'll get a little bit of heartburn or something. I used to have it every day. I used to eat these big things of Tums every day like crazy. But I know what it is. And so what happens is the fear's not there. The fear's the cause of all this. And it just calms down. Remember, it's starting in the amygdala brain.
Yep.
All of this process, size of a walnut. Although I just had a scientist tell me it's not amygdala, it's amygdalae, he told me.
Yeah.
Because there's two of them. I didn't know that. But it's the center that's always scanning for safety. Am I safe? Am I safe?
Yep.
Am I safe? And when in this type of personality we're talking about, never feels safe. Not just physiologically, but psychologically, it doesn't feel safe either. It's never good enough. Has to be better. Has to be good and gooder, like I say. So good that it has to be perfect on the outside. So it's always in survival mode. And so this amygdala is always firing to the hypothalamus to create these overreactions in the autonomic nervous system.
Yep.
To disrupt it, that causes all of the pain and disease. It all begins with the thought process that I'm not safe, that I'm not safe. And so physiologically speaking with TMS, if we want to bring it back down to just TMS, it's about healing's about teaching you that you're safe. That's all it's about. That's all it is. You know, and then when it does, this brain begins to relax.
Yep.
And it begins to drop into parasympathetic mode. The breathing re-regulates like we were talking about. And it heals, all the cell structure heals. But it's fun to see these great minds out there talking, like Lipton and Greg Braden and all these people. They're saying the same things that I've been seeing within TMS. They're saying it out there in their field with cell biology and things like that. And so everyone's going to come to this conclusion eventually, you know, that mind is the power creating the body. And when the body's going bad, something's going wrong. Something's going wrong in mind. And, you know, how to get there, that's another story. You know, many different paths to the same destination.
Well, that's actually what we're going to close with, but that comes in just a couple of minutes. So, I'm a part of this nutrition and performance Facebook group, has about 8,000 members, and I posed a question yesterday to them that I thought, God, I've got to ask Steve this. So I asked, you know, imagine yourself the stranded on a desert island or whatever. You can use whatever sort of backdrop you want. But the main question was, you have two medical professionals, you know, job occupations you can pick for the rest of your life to have access to. So, you know, you could pick a urologist, you could pick that's a weird one to pick. You could pick a massage therapist, you could pick a chiropractor, you could pick an orthopedist. Like, for you at this stage, knowing what you know now, what are the two medical professionals that you, like the type that you feel, if I could only pick two, I would pick these two?
Well, the first one is easy. I would take a psychologist.
Yep.
With me.
I knew you were going to say that.
If I get sick, you know, I won't go to the doctor, I'll go straight to a psychologist and try to understand why am I manifesting this weird disorder? You know, that's what I want to know first. I guess another doctor would have to be a surgeon in case you fell, you know, or you ruptured an artery or something, you know, climbing up the coconut tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you need somebody to sew you up and then somebody to talk to. So I guess those two.
Those are good. And in fact, the overwhelmingly, I think I had 30 or 40 responses, and 40% of them said a chiropractor, and I just kept, and I'll get to why I kept rolling my eyes in a second, but I picked a psychologist and a massage therapist, but we were close.
I didn't know it was part of the medical industry. That would be good too. But yeah. Then what are you going to do when you break your leg, you know, climbing for the bananas?
You know what? I watched so much 24 a few years ago and see Jack Bauer heal himself with all these crazy ailments. I feel like
it was MacGyver. I don't know if you've ever saw MacGyver.
It was my favorite show as a little kid. Actually, the original MacGyver. I loved it.
There's nothing he couldn't fix with a duct tape and a bucket of cotton balls.
Nope, not at all. So the reason I was laughing about the chiropractor, there was a part in your book, I underlined it or highlighted it in my iPad and the Kindle app 300 times and kept writing notes on it. There was a point where you had said, I think it was either a doctor, chiropractor told me this, which is why I'm bringing up chiropractors, but they had told you that your back pain was due to weak stomach muscles or weak abs or something like that. And you were going, I bench pressed 225. How's it possible? And I remember when I was told that and I was squatting 300 and I was deadlifting 350 or 370 or something. And I was like, look, I get that maybe we don't all have strong abs and stuff like that, but how in the holy hell is that causing my back pain when I'm doing all these other things? And like Joe Schmo's walking down the street without back pain and he never does anything.
That's I talk about that when I lecture too. That's just a big thing. You know, this is why they don't know what they're doing and they're making it worse. You know, I was benching 320 and I was squatting like 410 at one point. They were telling me my core was weak.
Yeah.
And my friends over there eating donuts and smoking cigarettes with a big fat belly, he has no pain at all. You know? But I believed them. And so I was doing sit-ups every day, which is what your brain hopes that you'll do. But, you know, I want to say this, too. Some of my strongest allies are chiropractors.
Okay.
You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in any specialty field. A lot of these people are coming to this realization. And they've healed with my book, and they're doing great, and they no longer manipulate people in the office. They hand them either my book or Dr. Sarno's book when they come in, and they ask them what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
And then there's the one chiropractor that's become a friend of mine now. He had stage 4 cancer, and he's healed completely. He was 25 years old. They told him, you know, you got to go home and die. There's nothing we can do. And he's fine.
That's amazing.
He's fine. Once he realized he did it to himself, he gave it to himself in this incessant desire to please everybody around us, to try to make everybody happy and just drain us of our life potential, you know, and pretending that we're something other than what we really, really are. This is what I get to when I do consultations with people, is this notion of the divided mind, right? Dr. Sarno's fourth book is called The Divided Mind. It's the primary reason is because it's divided between the conscious and the unconscious, mm-hmm. that there are two different personalities at play with each other at all times. In psychological conflict, but also it's divided between how you're acting to people and how you really feel inside. In 1975, Leon Festinger called that cognitive dissonance, and it caught on because I remember it in my college textbooks, yeah. Cognitive dissonance. You know, that's it. And I see that every day that I work with people. That's the problem. They're not living true to themselves. You know, in the back of my new book, I put that, The 5 Regrets of the Dying. I don't know if you've seen that book. It was a great book written by a hospice nurse.
Okay.
It was so perfectly fit with the TMS in my work that I wanted to put it in my appendix. And she, you know, she saw what these people were regretting in their lives as they were dying. And it was so much the same. She thought maybe living people should know this.
Yeah.
Right. While we're still alive. And the number one was, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not what others expected of me.
Yeah.
Second one was, I wish I would have not worked so hard.
Yep.
Third one, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings, which is part of TMS too. I wish I had stayed in fourth one. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. That was interesting to me. I would have never thought of that, but it's so true. We're friends with them for a reason, right? When we're younger or whatever, we love them at some point and we should stay in touch with them. And the fifth one was, I wish I had let myself be happier, you know, and that's really, if you remember the last line in my book, The Great Pain Deception, 16-point bold font, happiness first.
Yep.
You know, because happiness is part of joy and love and the things that we're not sensing in our lives because we're moving too robotically through the world, trying to please other people. And so, you know, all this stuff, it gets very complicated, but healing sometimes when I'm working with someone, they'll heal right there on Skype. Their back pain, they've tried for years and it's gone. That a couple recently, fibromyalgia people, they sign on and are all twisted and contorted. Their doctors told them they had an incurable disease that could only be managed for life. There's nothing you can do about it. But when I'm explaining what's going on to them and this healing light, really, you're shining light into the darkness. You're expanding consciousness here. When they realizing suddenly there's nothing wrong with me, they heal right there, and it's gone. Now this is rare. Now this is not normal. They're the exception, but that's how quickly it can work. You know why? Because they were ready. They were ready.
What kind of the departing parts here? I'm curious. Like I talk about like relaxation techniques and such with clients that I've had in the past, and I know like sort of my regimen on what I do to sort of combat some of these things. I think it's like, it's one thing or like, you're in pain and then you heal, but then what kinds of things can you do to sort of be preventative aside from being cognizant of the fact that something's going on and being more in touch with yourself? But, you know, there's gotta be some soothing. Like for me, it's like, I do diaphragmatic breath work. I journal. I'll sit in the hot tub. I'll chill out. Just generally like try to not sweat as much of the small stuff as I had been doing for so many years. Running hard. You know, the Seattle tech scene is crazy. Like a technology bubble, like who knows, all these software companies that I've worked for and such. So, you know, I've really learned to kind of control a lot of that stuff. But if you gave maybe three things to the common person, you know, to like sort of chill out things, I guess what would they be?
Okay, good question. You know, of course, as far as healing, we never want to do anything to heal. Okay. Never. I mean, anything you do to try to heal is adding to the problem. Okay. But on the life side of things, there are things that we can do, of course. Number one for me would be yoga.
Okay.
Or meditation, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. We have to begin to still the waves of the mind. We have to begin to calm it down. Thinking is causing all of the stress and tension in the body. We're not really meant to be going around racing like this all the time. It's causing so many diseases and pains. We need to really begin to relax. That would be a biggie, of course. And of course, the other one would be fun. You know, I was basically healed by the time Dr. Sarno's third book came out, The Mind-Body Prescription. So it didn't really help me a whole lot, but he introduced one new phrase that changed my life forever, the rage to soothe ratio. I don't know if you read that or heard about that, but I talked about it in my second book, where it's his sixth on his list of top 10 healing discoveries. And he said, you know, we have another thing in my practice, he said, that is curious. These people, they may have a normal amount of, you know, frustration and resentment and sadness in their life, given their life traumas and circumstances and the personality type. But we're seeing that they have nowhere near enough counterbalancing soothing. And when I read that, it was like a true light bulb moment. It was like, yeah, he's talking about fun. We're all so worried about getting, you know, it right in life.
Yep.
We've got to do this right and got to do that right. We're forgetting to have joy in life, forgetting to have pure fun. Just get silly, you know, to truly enjoy it. And that's one of the reasons I put that regrets of the dying in there too. And so at that point, it changed my life when I read that. It was another brilliant observation on his part, of course. I began to really have more fun in my life again. Just let it all go. Let the work go.
Yep.
You know, just go out and don't even think about it when you're out there. Just laugh, you know. And as far as a third one, yoga basically takes care of the breathing part and all that. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it, I guess so. I'm trying to think a lot of things that I work with people on. It all depends on the person. I can get a quick overview of listening to their words and which direction they need to go. And it's radically different for a lot of different people. But, you know, it may sound strange, but I've covered yoga and I've covered having fun. I would have to say get into the arts. It's just really a healing tool that people just are missing the point on. Mm-hmm. Play a musical instrument, paint, dance. Those things are all expressions of the inner self. And remember, TMS comes because we're not able to express ourselves and how we feel. And there are different ways to do it, through dancing and painting and singing and all these things. People are just, they're missing out on one of the greatest healing tools in the world, music. And I know myself, I play guitar too, and it shifts from body consciousness to the act, the daily mindfulness act of performing the act. You're shifting from one consciousness to another. But I'm specifically thinking of Shinichiro Terayama right now when I'm saying this. He had cancer all through his body, and he was told he was going to live just a couple more months, and there's nothing they could do. Well, he said he left the doctor's office and went out in the parking lot and cried. He said, well, I want to change my life at this point then, and he did, and he's alive now, of course. But he believes that it was his playing of the cello. He plays the cello. And he now lectures on mind-body healing, of course, and music. And I think it's very important because we get diseases when the cell's not getting enough energy to it. I talked to the Mind Body Institute in Washington, D.C. about getting a certification up there myself, you know, and that's all they talked about, getting energy to the cell. That's the healing thing.
Yeah.
Because we can do that through our mind, through joy and happiness and peace and beauty. We can get energy to the cell that way. But music is part of that, you know, and any type of art. You know, and I don't say this lightly. I think it's just as powerful as meditation and breathing at some point. But people just don't take advantage of it because they really want to, you know, take the pill or go to the chiropractor or go to the surgeon, you know. And so this is a very comprehensive topic. It really is. You know, it is. You know, I want to thank you for, you know, giving me the opportunity to talk. I oftentimes people say, you know, would you talk to my group? It's not a very big group. Would you talk to them? And I tell them, you know, if a squirrel by the side of the road asked me to talk about TMS, I'd stand there and talk to him.
Yeah.
About TMS, because my job is to help everybody and anybody that's willing to listen.
Yeah. There's there's some people that I follow on Instagram that, you know, they've got a variety of issues, and I felt like one of them's like, she was the Welch champion weightlifter. And she's had a back injury now, for like a back fracture, but it's been, I feel like it's been 9 months, 10 months, something like that. She's been suffering through this. And I just keep telling her, like, you know, do what you need to do to heal. But as long as you're just sitting on the sidelines, like, pick up this book, you know what I mean? Like, just read it.
That injury healed a long time ago. Like Dr. Sarno said, there's no such thing as a chronic injury, pain from a chronic injury. It doesn't exist. The brain will just take the opportunistic moment to latch onto it if the person's in a TMS state at that time. George Clooney was the same way. You know, George Clooney, the actor, he read my book, The Great Pain Deception. He still believes that he's got some type of spinal fluid leak in his back. You know, his doctor keeps telling him that. But the TMS doctors I talk to say, that sounds weird. Something's not right there. The body heals itself.
Yep.
This person you're talking about, her body healed. Remember John Stossel in an interview with Dr. Sarno? He had a cracked vertebrae in his back and healed after talking to Dr. Sarno one time.
Yeah, I mean, and there's people that will reach out to me on Instagram. They'll send me private messages and stuff. I probably get one a week that says, hey, I went back and looked through all your posts, because for months I would have like my summary of my appointment with the doctor, and he did a nerve entrapment procedure in my neck, and he did this and he did that. And they're like, what did it end up being? You know, what was the miracle cure? And I'm like, dude, it's different than what you think. And you know, a lot of, like, there's not one of them that's picked up and read the book even the first time, like, and some of these people I've been talking to for 6 months. And there was a guy who messaged me yesterday. I'm looking up his name now, and I can't even pronounce where he lives. It's somewhere in the other part of the world. It says that he went to Technical University in Sofia and he studied engineering, but his background picture is the London Bridge. So let's just say he's somewhere near there. But he messaged me.
Maybe he bought it off somebody.
Yeah. He messaged me on Facebook yesterday, and he said, are you such and such from the bodybuilding.com forum? There was a post that I did a year and a half ago about an entrapped nerve in the rhomboid muscle. And he was like, you hadn't posted anything since. I assume that you found the right doctor, you had the right surgery. What did you get? And I'm like, dude, this is going to sound crazy, but I read this book and I started looking into all this stuff. I'm like, I even have a podcast about it. I'm like, you can just go and download a couple of the episodes and just listen to them, because there was the Nicole one, and then the one that I did last week, and then the one with you, which will drop in a few weeks from when we're talking about this. But yeah, I think you're totally right. It's sort of the willingness to heal. I felt like for somebody that's never done drugs and never been an alcoholic and never had a cigarette, I pretty much hit rock bottom in my trade, which was, I hadn't touched a weight in 6 months. And so that, for me, that was enough to, and I would start to have like these little outbursts with family and stuff. And it wasn't me. Like, what is popping out of the top, that reservoir that Dr. Sarno's talked about, that, like, you know, what is there? And I think you're totally right on the, I mean, and I hear your journey is, it's amazing. When I would finish up like a story of yours, I'd turn to my wife and go, this fucking guy, like, he's going through everything. And eventually he's going to get to the part where he healed. But it's like, it feels like this tunnel is the longest dark tunnel I've ever seen.
It's like a domino effect too. Once it starts to go south, man, it goes south fast, because mm-hmm. you start to lose hope, you know, and fun and all those things. Yeah, I've had people sign on and onto Skype and say, hey, you're alive. I wanted to make sure you're alive. You know, they're surprised that I'm still alive. But I've seen a few, not a whole lot, but a few people that went through hell worse than me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just amazingly bad childhoods and amazingly bad things. And they're all healing, you know. I just did a show in Australia, endometriosis. So it was all women, you know. I said, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know enough to know that they get better with the TMS work, you know. And the host of the show, she got better herself with mind-body stuff. And so she knows it's mind-body related, but the group doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
And so they invited me in to talk. And so, yeah, this is Dr. Sarno truly changed the world forever. It will never be the same. And it's very slow movement. One person at a time heals, and other people see it. And with the advent of the internet, we're able to do things like we're doing here. We're talking to people. And if one person heals, then we did a good job here. Most of the people statistically won't believe what we're talking about here, but it's still true.
Yep.
I see people healing literally every day. You know, well, there might be a day here and there that they don't, but I had four last week. I had four in one day email me and say, I healed.
That's amazing.
You know, and they're all weird things, you know, elbow, skin pain, you know, dizziness, eye problems, tinnitus in the ear, bladder pain, you name it, pudendal neuralgia, plantar fasciitis. I'm learning all these medical terms that I never thought I would ever know, because I'm an engineer, you know,
yeah,
by
yeah.
degree. I'm an electrical engineer, and I know that a calorie is a unit of heat because I'm an engineer.
Yep.
Okay. And that's how I look at it, you know, a unit of heat. But I was just blessed to have found the work. And anybody wants to, if anybody that's curious that's listening to us right now, they can go to the TMS Healing Wall of Victory and take a look at those, that wall that I started. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've watched them all. Yeah, I've seen
them. Oh, they're good. You're the, nah, they, yeah. They're doing well. They're really doing well. They're saving people's lives. And those people all were kind enough to do that because they wanted to help.
Yeah.
They wanted to get back. And they're, it's working. It's actually working in everybody. And so, yeah. Some of them, you know, everyone there said something very profound that can change somebody's life in their own words. I had no idea what they were going to say when I asked them to record it. And so I watch them just like anyone else. It's very interesting. But I know exactly which specific words they're saying that can help somebody.
Yeah.
And they've all said something that can help somebody. So go there. If you're not sure about what you and I are talking about, watch that. Like you said, pick up the books. $10 or $20 is nothing compared to $500,000 that I spent trying to heal.
I mean, your book for me, I think it was $11 at the time I bought it. Sarno's book was $7.80. It's like, think about even just the copay for going to a doctor, which is $20, and then if they
put the gasoline to drive to them.
Yeah, and the hour you're sitting there, and the, you know, I know the story all too well. I know that you do too. Steve Ozanich, thank you so much for jumping on the interview. SteveOzanich.com. He's got The Great Pain Deception available on Amazon, multiple other books. Thanks again, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.